Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2016. It's Monday, August 1st, 9:15 Eastern Time when we're recording this, which means it's 6:15 in Vegas right now, where I am. And joining me back on the podcast, fresh back from Latrobe, the McLumina made it, luckily, Alex Cazora. Alex, happy Monday to you. How's the flux capacitor on the McLumina?
A little flickery right now. I think there's some sort of sensor issue with my colon. Any mechanics who'd like to chime in, feel free to. But I spent my entire drive home looking at the road about 10% of the time, my temperature gauge about 90%. So it's a miracle I didn't crash. So I'm happy to be here, happy to talk some Steelers.
Well, we're glad to have you as well, too, for you to paint us a picture. Let's get right to the housekeeping, your transactions and injuries and stuff. And I made a mistake last night, and we caught it after the podcast ended. I said that Steven Johnson left practice on Sunday, the linebacker. It was actually Brandon Johnson. And anytime I hear Brandon Johnson, my mind immediately goes linebacker, because I don't know how many of you listeners remember, the Steelers had a Brandon Johnson, a former Cincinnati Bengal, on the roster in camp. He was a late addition, I think, or a late OTA addition, and then ended up going with the team to camp. So anytime I hear Brandon Johnson, I think linebacker, and when I went to write it, I wrote Steven Johnson. So no big deal. It was Brandon Johnson, who, by the way...
No more Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about keeping my Johnson straight anymore, or at least... And that's one less Brandon to keep up with as well, too. Brandon Johnson and center Quentin Schooley, who we kind of thought might be on the outs there, were both waived injured Monday morning. Replacing them was on the roster running back Christian Powell. If that name sounds familiar, it should. Christian Powell originally signed with the Steelers as an undrafted free agent this year. I think he was cut somewhere around early May to an I don't remember the injury.
Rookie minicamp.
Is that when he was cut, right after rookie minicamp?
Yep, to make way for Stingley and Brandon Brown Dukes. Oh,
okay, and it was some sort of unspecified injury. He was waived. He's obviously healthy. He's back with the Steelers now. And they signed an undrafted free agent from actually 2015, New Mexico State product, center. Hold on, folks. I know you tuned in for me to pronounce this. I went and Googled me a pronunciation, and if I say that, if I practice 8 hours, and I'll still get it wrong. Valerian Ume Ezeoki. How did I do, Alex?
I have no idea how to pronounce it. I haven't looked it up at all, so we'll pretend and say you did a very good job.
All right. Ume Ezeoki entered the league with the Atlanta Falcons in 2015. He played in 3 preseason games with them. I totaled it up, 29 total snaps. He was waived by the Falcons after their 3rd preseason game. I don't think he surfaced anywhere the rest of the year. The Arizona Cardinals this year in February signed him to a futures contract. He didn't last there very long. He was waived by them sometime in May, I believe. So he is your new center as of right now, and a guy coming in that late, and don't need to tell anybody, especially with all the spots, mostly spoken for on this offensive line, he's even a questionable candidate for the practice squad at this point. The injury report: Xavier Grimble and Roosevelt Nix returned to practice on Monday. That's good news there, but the Steelers did suffer a few injuries today. We'll start with the non-serious ones first. Jarvis Jones was out sick today. He's currently rooming with Shamarco Thomas, so they evidently passing the bug back and forth. Tight end Mandel Dixon, what did Mike Thomas say? Head injury today. Mm-hmm. He left, and James Harrison suffered a minor ankle injury, according to Mike Tomlin. Both those players will be evaluated. And the big news of the day, unfortunately, cornerback Cinquez Golson had to leave on the cart with a right foot injury. Mike Tomlin said after practice all he would call it was a mid-foot injury. He refused to speculate, sprain, you know, Liz Frank, what have you. I don't believe it was a contact injury, so maybe there's some good news there, but that's just me speculating. And as soon as Cinquez left, he had been, as Alex has said, you know, the last couple of days, Cinquez had been running first team nickel corner. When he left, that bumped second team nickel corner, Sean Davis, a rookie safety out of Maryland, into the starting nickel spot. And to my knowledge, Sean Davis got double duty too, first and second team. Is that correct, Alex?
I'm not sure about second team. I mean, he kind of started playing all over because he still got his reps at safety too, second team. So I don't know if he was exclusive slot with the second team.
Maybe that's what he meant. Because I think he said he played first and second team. So maybe he was taking second team safety snaps.
Yeah, probably. Because I think Montel Garner was picking up a second team slot snaps. But I mean, this is something that shouldn't be a surprise. We saw Davis the first, you know, 2 days. And I think maybe some of yesterday as well get work in the slot. And of course, you know, like I said, Montel Garner, a guy that's just trying to make a practice squad, you're going to expect Sean Davis to be in there. So the big thing was that they did not move William Gay, and they wanted to keep Sean Davis in there, and that might be their plan going forward.
That'll be interesting, and if Cinquez Golson is out for an extended period of time, and we probably not going to know that till maybe tomorrow or Wednesday, Sean Davis, you would think, has a pretty strong chance at being the, you know, the starter moving forward at that point, right?
I think, again, like I said, they want to explore ways to get him onto the field. And, of course, injury creates opportunity. And I know Cardinal Lake has talked about how the slot corner responsibilities are in a lot of ways similar to strong safety, especially talking about being able to support the run. And Sean Davis, you know, that's one of his calling cards. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if that's going to create a more heavy emphasis on getting Davis some big-time starting snaps.
I hate to be rude here and frame this kind of untastefully. Could this perhaps be a blessing in disguise?
Well, it was tough to even know what you had in Golson, but again, it just creates an opportunity. I don't worry about framing it if it's a blessing in disguise or not. I just know there's a talented guy in Sean Davis who now has a potential chance for an easier chance to play time, and that's all that matters. But man, Dave, that's super frustrating about Cinquez Golson. I hope it's not serious, but you hear midfoot. My first thought is that Liz Frank, and of course that could be very serious. So we'll see. But Golson, man, it's just, even if it's, you know, not a season-ending thing, even if it's a couple-week thing, those are just reps Golson cannot miss. He's been trying to get out here, you know, all year now, and he finally gets healthy and snaps, and now it's stopped again. You're just not getting the reps to learn and get better from, and so that's very frustrating. Him more than me, but frustrating all around.
You talk about a difference in size in these two. Wow.
Very different.
You know, but both are physical players. I mean, look, I'm not down at Cinquez at all. I've been dying to watch him, you know, get on the field finally during the preseason. So like you, I hope he does get back because, you know, he was a physical player on the outside at Ole Miss. Of course, he led the SEC in interceptions his senior season as well, too. And you go back to when they drafted him, you know, to talk during that draft was going out there and getting those ball hawks. And, you know, you really were excited to see what maybe he could do. And obviously he was really only working on the inside. But, you know, we saw what happened last year, especially in that playoff game against Denver with Brandon Boykin there. So we'll see. And that we'll just leave it at that. We'll wait to hear what Mike Tomlin tells us on the overall health of Cinquez Golson moving forward. I guess we'll start on the offensive line like we do every night. Flip-flop again, as expected, right?
Yep. Ryan Harris, first team left tackle. Villanueva, second team left tackle. I say left tackle. I don't know. Ryan Harris, left tackle. Villanueva, left tackle. Getting myself mixed up a little bit. Hubbard Finney, flip back. And Finney still getting third team center snaps as well. So that's good for him. Again, he's kind of played everywhere along the interior, but to the actual play, I thought Gerald Hawkins had a nice day today. He got some one-on-one reps with Travis Feeney, and I think he won both, especially the second, where Feeney tried a little speed rush, and Hawkins put him into the ground, you know, pretty quick work of him. So I thought Hawkins had a nice day today, keeping his feet moving, showing some of that power that he had. Ryan Harris was a little up and down. Chicolo got him a couple times, but, you know, Harris had a couple good reps as well in one-on-one. So my big takeaway today, though, is Gerald Hawkins having a nice day, and after kind of a so-so yesterday, it was nice to see him bounce back a little bit.
That's good to hear, even though, you know, he's probably going to be quote-unquote, you know, red-shirted and probably not going to dress barring injury, and he's obviously not getting any reps on at guard, right? Because, you know, we heard Todd Haley kind of tease us a couple weeks after the draft saying that he's kind of a guard capable type player, but you have not witnessed any of that happening, right?
Right. 100% positive. All his snaps have come at right tackle, just right tackle. He might get moved around later in camp to the left side a little bit. That's usually what they do. But yeah, nothing at guard for Gerald Hawkins.
All right. Anything else stick out on the offensive line to you?
No, I think that's the big thing. You know, Cody Wallace had a tough time with Javon Hargrave. We'll get to him when we get to the defensive line. You know, some up and down play around. I thought David Castro and Stephon too would always have some really fun battles in one-on-one. That's kind of fun to see. Castro's such a great hand fighter, and he keeps his feet moving. He stays square into the midpoint of the defensive line. And I love watching them go at it. Hayward Foster, that's kind of fun to watch too. So you don't get to see those guys, obviously, you know, ever once you know the games start. But it's nice to see some really talented players on both sides of the ball go at it.
And unless it's individual drills, like we said last night, you really don't get to see how guys mix it up there, you know, inside there. So that's, you know, well, you can bet for sure when that All-22 comes out, we will be all over that from that first preseason game moving forward, as we always are. Tight end, boy, it's good to see Grimble back on the field. Hopefully he can stay there. Fill us in on the day he and Jesse James and a few of those younger players had.
Yeah, really, until Ladarius Green gets back, Dave, and I do want to note with Ladarius Green that he started to run some routes at half speed today, and, you know, he did some sprinting that was probably 75% speed on the middle field. So I think he's progressing, or they're trying to test that ankle out. So again, I have no idea what his timetable is, but I think, you know, we're getting a little bit closer. There's some progress being made. But until he gets back, it's really just about Jesse James and Xavier Grimble. I mean, Dixon, Paul Lang, those guys are, you know, just trying to stay alive and stay on this roster as long as they can. But Grimble had a nice day. Again, flashed as a receiver, had one catch down the seam, had another one where we basically plucked it off of Shazier's head. He was able to finish practice today, which is a nice thing, something he hasn't always been able to do so far. So I thought Grimble had a good day and showed why he's here and showed that he can be a receiving threat and a tough guy to bring down.
If Mandel Dixon has a concussion, he might, and, you know, those lines are short enough as they are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, concussion would not be obviously good news for Mandel Dixon. He could be on his way out. We'll see what happens, I guess, for Wednesday.
Yeah, and with him having a day off on Tuesday, that's a perfect opportunity to bring about five or six guys in.
Yep.
And work them out. So it'll be interesting to watch what happens with that roster spot. You know, hopefully he doesn't have a concussion and can get back on the field quickly there, because as we said, those lines are already short enough as they are. Quarterbacks, Big Ben number 7 back out there today and made a difference, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what Tomlin said. I caught his press conference on Steelers.com today after practice, and he was talking about how, you know, yesterday people were saying the defense did so well, and I know, I guess Tomlin really thinks that, you know, Ben not being out there has that negative impact on the offense. When Ben's out there, everyone wants to kind of follow him. So that's kind of a nice nugget of information. I never really thought about it in that way till Tomlin said it today. But yeah, he was out there. I thought Bruce Gradkowski seemed to get a lot and maybe most of the second team reps ahead of Landry Jones. So, you know, we'll see if that continues, if they're still trying to maybe create some sort of competition there. Gradkowski threw today's only interception right into the numbers of Anthony Chicolo. Dustin Vaughn, not a lot of reps today, which I kind of wanted to see him get some more reps and see how he could kind of handle himself from a couple days in a row. But that is life of a number 4 quarterback.
Overall, 7 shots to quarterbacks, do okay?
Yeah, I always forget to check the numbers, but yeah, Ben was able to define AB a couple times. I think they hooked up twice. I think Eli Rogers had a touchdown, Nick's had a touchdown. So I would say the offense won the day in 7 shots.
Running backs, how much did Le'Veon Bell do today? And same goes for D'Angelo Williams. How much did those guys get done today?
Yeah, like you had called the other day, Dave. Once they get into the contact periods, really the first two sessions of 11-on-11, they really pull Bell out. They won't give him any reps, and definitely not carrying the football at all because they want to, just make sure he stays clean. D'Angelo Williams will still get a couple carries, but again, just curious about the guys behind him. I thought, Brandon Brown Dukes had gotten a lot of, burn in that last 11-on-11 today. He did a couple nice things, being able to be a tough runner and get upfield and have a little bit of shake, getting working his way through the hole. And he's actually asked about it today, Mike Tomlin was, and Tomlin said, some nice things about him. And Tomlin, does not always praise the new guys because he doesn't want to inflate their ego a little bit. So I thought they were taking kind of a longer look at Brandon Brown Dukes, and a guy like Cameron Stingley just didn't seem like he got a lot of reps today. So I'm not saying there's separation. You're going to have ebb and flow. You're going to have days where you give, one running back, a lot of reps just to let him get into a rhythm and kind of see how he responds after five or so carries. But today was Brandon Brown Dukes' day, and I thought he did a decent job as a running back.
Yeah, Tomlin said something to the effect of catching up with the, I guess, what do you say, the speed, the competition, or the level competition. Mm-hmm. Of course, he comes from a small school, and I think what Tom was saying was he's not getting overwhelmed by the step up in competition. So
Tomlin lied though today. He said he wasn't going to call him Mercyhurst. I heard him say Mercyhurst once today. So come on, Tomlin.
There you go. Wide receivers, take us through it.
Not hugely descriptive. AB had a lot of catches today, but that's natural for Antonio Brown. Sammy Coates, another fine day. Nothing as spectacular as 2 days ago, but just fine. Thought Isaac Blakeney did some nice things today. I've kind of talked him up a little bit. I know he's kind of considered a long shot, but I like his ability to separate at the top of his route. I think he's a pretty easy mover. I noticed that on the first day. Does a nice job of being able to work back to the quarterback in some of those underneath routes. Catches the ball clean away from his body. He has good hands. I rarely see him, drop a pass or even double clutch a pass. I think Isaac Blakeney's doing some nice things. On the downside, though, Marcus Tucker, who I talked to and has a great story and is a kid that you root for, did have a tough day today. Had at least one drop. There was a miscommunication. I think it was a play action. I think Tucker probably thought it was a run. He never got his head around. Ross Ventrone nearly picked it off. Tucker did not have the best of days. And for a guy that's kind of at the back end of that roster trying to get reps and is only playing outside, hasn't been using the slot at all, it's a little disappointing. I like Tucker's skill set. He's a smooth route runner. He doesn't drift. And he gets out of his breaks quickly. But the reps are not that many, and he struggled today with those opportunities that he got.
I started to read, as always, I don't get to read your recap before we get on. I started to had a little time before we got on today, and I made it about a quarter way through. Didn't you mention something about them going through the stock block drill today?
Yeah, that was just part of their individual drills. I think before they caught passes, they just kind of hit the pads a little bit and kind of just, worked on that for just 2 or 3 minutes. Nothing huge.
Okay, so it wasn't, they're not going after DBs in that drill yet then.
Yeah, it was just individual work. One receiver would hold one of those red pads up and receiver would block, they'd punch and they'd shuffle, then they'd move up and punch again and they'd go through that, I think, twice. Yeah, it was just a small part of the day.
All right, let's see. That covers the offense. Let's switch over to the defensive line. How about the Gravedigger?
He's doing well. They moved up. He graduated to Cody Wallace today, and he got Wallace, I think, two times. He won with, a dip and a rip. He won with a bull rush that knocked Wallace off balance and ran him into the pocket. I think he's doing fine in 11-on-11, too. It is, harder to see. But he's playing the nose. He's playing, in nickel with Ricardo Matthews most of the time. I think Hargrave is coming along just fine. And speaking of Ricardo Matthews, he again made another play in the backfield today. It's happened two or three times so far in camp. He's gotten a lot of praise. I like what he's done in one-on-one drills. That could be a sneaky good pickup for Pittsburgh, a guy that can play, for the four-tech or the four-eye and can play in the nickel, play the one and the three, a pass rusher, a guy that has a decent first step. So far, so good with Ricardo Matthews.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to follow up on that thought real quick, I think this defensive line depth is going to be a world of difference from where it was last year with LT Walton's maturation. And I love the effort that he showed yesterday. He's got great hustle and chase of the football. And then with the addition of Ricardo Matthews, then you throw in Javon Hargrave. It's very early out. We'll see how things go. But this defensive line depth could maybe be a strength of this team this year. And it was, one of the Achilles heels last year.
Yeah, especially, I mean, look, we knew when Cam Thomas was signed how that was going to go. I mean, it was
not good.
And it went pretty much exactly how we thought it would. And of course, you throw in having to give young guys like, unfortunately, LT Walton some snaps last year, and then you had to spend a game and a half or two with McClendon out there at defensive end. Of course, Dan McClendon still trying to find his feet still. Is there a chance that Hargrave overtakes McClendon?
McCullers?
McCullers?
probably not as the base 3-4. No, I think McCullers just has that size and he just takes up so much space and kind of commands to be double teamed. But again, I think that they're just going to be creative with getting Hargrave reps and being, you know, confident and being able to take out Hayward and Tuitt. And there was no confidence in doing that last year. Mike Tomlin will be the first to tell you that they just did not have the personnel that, you know, that they could afford to take off, you know, the studs that they have in Hayward and Tuitt. This year, when you have Hargrave and Matthews and potentially LT Walton, you have, you know, three guys there, and maybe only one or two of them really ends up panning out and stepping up. But that's good enough, you know, when you're talking about just getting, you know, Hayward and Tuitt out about 20% of the time each. So I think there's definitely going to be a role for Javon Hargrave. I think he can make a very noticeable, even if it is a kind of a niche impact in year one.
Now let me ask you this: we charted this, and I wrote about it a couple of times with McCullers and how he was. Lack of use in the nickel last season. Is he getting any work in two defensive linemen personnel groupings?
He's been sprinkled in there, yeah. I think it's good just to get him those reps because, you know, you only might carry, what is it, you know, five defensive linemen on game day. So you want to have those guys get that experience in case there's ever an in-game injury. But I would not expect him to be in nickel really at all this year when you have Hayward and Tuitt and Matthews and Hargrave. Unless the run defense is really bad and you're just not getting any production from that standpoint, which we can't forget about. It's very important trying to stop the run out of your 2-4-5. I don't think McCullers is going to be a guy they're going to count on that much in nickel this year.
So then, in other words, if things go as planned, McCullers will play 20 snaps a game or so as the nose, and throughout the season he might play 35 to 40 snaps in the nickel.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think that's maybe the ideal situation. Plus, it keeps him fresh. I mean, he's a guy that's always going to just struggle with conditioning. He's never going to be the best and most conditioned guy out there. So if you can find ways to limit his reps and maximize when he is out there, you're probably sitting in the best situation.
Does he have a hot button yet?
It's tough to tell. In one-on-ones, he just kind of runs through guys because he can, because he's Daniel McCullers, and that's what he gets to do when you're 6'7", 350. So you'd have to probably ask, you know, hopefully get some comments from some of these other guys that are out there with him every day to see if he's really getting angry. But nothing really visible from my end.
Yeah, he doesn't. You know, he comes off as a real even – kind of, yeah, an even keel player, you know.
Big old teddy bear. That's Daniel McCullers.
Yeah. All right, outside linebackers. Nice day for Chickalo.
I really thought it was, and I don't know if that's going to grab headlines or not, but I thought Chickalo did a great job in one-on-ones today. He got under Villanueva, which I know is kind of easy to do because Villanueva is 6'9", but Tomlin kind of made a comment to that. I saw Chickalo be able to counter off of Ryan Harris. He tried outside. It didn't work, so he spun inside and beat Ryan Harris clean. He had an interception today. He's played both sides. His run defenses looked, you know, just fine to me. I think Anthony Chickalo's having a nice start to camp, kind of carrying over where he went, you know, at the end of last year camp, you know, in the regular season. So he's doing a good job. And then James Harrison, you know, just doing what he does against the run. He tossed Jesse James one time today, forced the play inside, made the tackle on Brown Dukes. Harrison is just one of a kind. And then one real last quick note, just a guy that never gets much love, Mike Riley. I appreciate his chase and effort to the football today. You know, he's going to be practice squad at best, but I appreciate the effort he's putting in.
Let's see. I'm drawing a blank. Zumwalt, did he play outside again?
Yep, he's been outside. I think they're going to keep him there. I haven't seen him take a single rep at inside linebacker.
That's not good.
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to have Zumwalt be in the mix at outside. Unless something opens up some practice squad, let's say they keep Chickalo and Feeney on the 53, but I don't know if you even want to add an outside linebacker at that point in the practice squad. But Zumwalt, he had one nice play today, I think, in one-on-ones. I forget who he beat to the inside. I think it was Mahalik, maybe. But Zumwalt and outside linebacker are two words that should not go together.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about Chickalo. Every time I hear he has a good day and all, I keep going back to that East-West Shrine game.
That's your favorite.
Man, I keep going back to that, and I keep going back to his comments leading up to the draft about how he was miscast at Miami, you know, as a 3-4 defensive end. You know, I think he's even said, you know, had to play the five and two gap at times, and that's just not who he is, you know. And of course, he's playing at a higher weight on top of it, so. You know, this guy could get after the quarterback if you turned him loose. And now that he knows what he's doing, and I'm sure that's pretty obvious now, right? I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's probably in a lot better physical condition now. What's the chance that he, you know, you heard David and Todd and I talk about this today, right?
Yes.
Basically saying, you know, I think you could see a situation where all five outside linebackers are shuffled into the game. Could you see something along those lines?
Man, I don't know, Dave. I lean towards no. I saw Joey Porter's comments, I think if they were to Dale Lawley the other day, about how he really wanted Jarvis and Bud to take the reins and get the majority of the snaps. And maybe that changes, you know. I think I basically agreed with
that. Well, how do you – and I read that too, and David brought it up. But, I mean – how confident are you in Bud Dupree and Jarvis Jones actually pulling that off and pulling it off effectively?
Yeah, I kind of felt similar to you, Dave, that I think Bud Dupree is going to be able to hit that 70%, you know, margin, I guess you could say. I think Jarvis is going to have a lot tougher time. James Harrison did not come back this year to sit on the bench, and he's still probably one of your best pass rushers. So, and he's great against the run too. So I don't think that's going to happen with Jarvis. But it's tough for me to say that Chicklow's then going to play over James Harrison. So Chicola would have to probably get snaps on the left side. And if Dupree's going to play 70% of the time, Moots is going to get some snaps. I just don't know if I see a path. I guess to make a long point short, the Dupree and Jarvis would really have to struggle to compel this team to play Anthony Chicola on defense.
Well, my whole notion of Chicola getting snaps, I envision, I didn't spell this out on the podcast, is I envision him getting them on the left side. Here's the thing. What are the chances that a guy like Chicklow can actually maybe pass up a guy like Moats?
Not impossible, because, again, I referenced 2 years ago when Moats basically got benched and didn't play at all on defense when James Harrison came back from his injury. But I don't know, Dave. I just think there's a level and a ladder that you climb into the NFL. And, you know, first step is make the team. Second step is become a good special teamer. And then third step is defense. So I'm thinking Chicklow for next year as opposed to this year.
And we all know Jarvis is gone after this year. And I mean, if Jarvis does not hit, and look, if there's one player I want to be more wrong about right now, and I know you as well, it's Jarvis Jones. He's got a big year ahead of him. You know, it's a contract year. I mean, if anybody's got the motivation right now to really just knock it out of the park, it's him. But I don't see him as a double digit guy. I think if he hit seven sacks, I should film myself doing a backflip, you know. So, but I mean, it goes. Oh, let's go back to the original train of thought here. Chicklow is having a nice start to camp, and it'll be nice to see if he can continue that on during the preseason, because he's not going. He should get opportunities where he's going against more than just furniture movers.
Yeah, he'll get a lot of play time because, you know, James isn't going to play much, you know, but Bud and Jarvis, you know, I don't know. Jarvis might not play a lot because, I mean, he's a veteran against backups. He's not going to learn a lot from that. Bud should get some time, and Moats probably won't play a ton either. Chicklow should get a lot of reps, and I expect him to do well. I expect him to have a very nice camp, and I'm sure that's the team's expectation as well.
All right, we spent enough. We could go, and I could go another 30 minutes on the outside linebackers. It's one of the things that just really has me concerned this year, you know, with that group. Inside guys, Shazier follow up his nice practice yesterday with another decent one?
He probably didn't have any eye-popping plays today, but I assume he was fine. I thought L.J. Fort had one nice play in the backfield. He had a tackle for a loss, and he's still running second-team inside linebacker. I know David Todd almost forgot about him earlier, and you had to remind him. Fort could be a guy. Don't count out L.J. Fort. But his competition, Tyler Medicevich, probably had his best day. I saw Medicevich all over the place against the run today in the backfield, sideline to sideline. Things might be slowing down for him a little bit. Thought it was a very productive day for Tyler Medicevich.
We haven't talked a lot about Vince Williams yet.
Because it's Vince Williams. I haven't had the classic big hit yet from Vince Williams, but he's been out there. He's fine. I mean, he's a guy I don't really worry about. I know what I have in Vince Williams, and I have a very good player. I don't want to get too derailed from this topic, but I thought you and David Todd had a very interesting kind of back-and-forth discussion on the whole Vince Williams-Timmons thing today. My two cents on that, I would not give Vince Williams a deal before this season started. I think that would be a slap in the face to Lawrence Timmons, and I don't want to create any issues, you know, during the season in that locker room.
Right. Well, we'll see if they get something done with Timmons. Do you think they get something done with one of them, or do you think they go into the season with both those guys scheduled to be on you know, go ahead and plan on them both hitting free agency?
My gut, and this is just my gut saying this, that I think they don't do anything with either before the season starts. I think this is Timmons' last year in Pittsburgh, and I think they end up re-signing Vince Williams on the cheap.
Wow, you really think this could be it for Vince Williams? I mean, for Lawrence Timmons as well,
just,
right?
Just knowing about the sub-package football these teams go into play and kind of the way the league is going, you know, it's not even about can you be a three-down linebacker. It's are you going to have a linebacker on third down? Are you going to have two inside linebackers on third down? I just think the way the league is going and the way kind of defenses get molded, I just think they're going to start to kind of prefer and prize speed and versatility more than inside linebackers. So I just think that the role for the linebackers are shrinking. So unless you're a guy like Shazier that is like a super like 1% athlete, you're just not going to be as valuable. And that's just my guess. I don't think Timmons comes back.
And then
that'll hurt me because I love Lawrence Timmons.
Yeah,
so that's the way it goes.
And you got to remember, too, if Shazier has the type of year that we think he can have and stay on the field, he's going to have his fifth-year option picked up on top of it. So that'll be your big money man, possibly forthcoming in the middle of that defense. And then if you could just piece and plug together two down guys on the cheap, you know, let's say Vince Williams can keep, you know, you can keep him, then that's probably how you would go about doing it. Well, you know, we will see, you know, as they like to say. Okay, cornerbacks, what did you see out of this group today?
Thought Duran Grant had a better day today. He had a nice breakup of Levi Norwood, and even on some of the completions that he allowed, there were guys that just made some tough catches. Sammy Coates had him the one time. You know, I thought Artie Burns was a little bit better, but there were still some bad plays. He got kind of washed once against the run. Marcus Wheaton was able to kind of seal him down, and it opened up the perimeter for Daryl Richardson for a big run. Burns got beat deep in 7-on-7 by Darius Heyward-Bey. I think Burns is realizing quickly he's no longer the fastest guy on the team. But I thought there were some good things, too. I thought the one right after he got sealed by Wheaton, the next play, he got off a block by Sammy Coates and did a good job as the force defender. Another time there was a play to him, and he did a nice job as the force defender and kept running back inside and forced him up the middle. So up and down for Artie Burns, but that's okay. You know, I thought there was a little bit of bounce back from today or from yesterday.
Are we starting to see why a lot of us now had Artie Burns as a second-round guy?
I don't want to make those. I don't like to think about that much anymore. I just try to look at what Burns is doing now. But I just think the reality is that he was a junior, supposed to be a senior this year, who had 23 career college starts. That is not an ideal, perfect, you know, fit in this Steelers defense. And I think it's going to show early. But if you consider this year a redshirt year for Artie Burns, and in some ways I do, it's perfectly fine and expected to have those growing pains early on. And this is day, you know, 4 of 365. That first year of your redshirt, then it's perfectly fine to screw up early on. It's all about how you respond, and that'll be the true test for Artie Burns.
And as Kevin Colbert likes to say, this is his senior year.
Yep, that's the slogan.
And I mean, he's not going to threaten for a starting job. We know that, barring injury. And if he does play, it's only going to play be on the outside. They're not going to look at him as a slot guy. How is his attitude, demeanor after he gets beat?
I guess I haven't paid a lot of attention to it. You might have to ask, you know, see some of the other media guys that are down there talking to him. I saw one play there where I think he got, he gave up a completion and he jogged back and, you know, his head wasn't hanging down. So, I mean, I guess it's really hard for me to say 30,000 feet up, but I mean, it's not like I'm seeing this guy with his hand, you know, head down and kind of, you know, just depressed out there. I think he understands this is a long process. And like I said, I think he has a good supporting cast, William Gay and the like, that can tell him, you know, we've been there before. We know what you're feeling and just keep at it and things will get better.
Does it look like Danny Smith's going to use him as a gunner and all?
I haven't really paid attention and really haven't seen that. They haven't done a ton of work with Gunners. I mean, all those guys kind of end up going through the special teams drill anyway. But it wouldn't surprise me in the least. You have a long guy that's able to keep himself clean. I think he's a physical guy who wants to tackle. And, of course, you have some great speed to get down the field. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, the physical tools are all there that tells you that he has a chance to be a Gunner. So, sure, I think he'll get time at it, and we'll see how well he performs.
What about the other corners?
Not a ton to note on them. You know, Gay is Gay, Cockrell is Cockrell. They're both fine. Obviously, Golson's injury today. I wish I could see a little more from Donald Washington. Haven't maybe seen the pop that I expected. Maybe that's my own fault for kind of just guessing. You know, Garner's been up and down. He's got some ball skills, but he'll look back in the backfield sometimes too often and create some separation and has trouble staying in phase. You know, they're an okay group. You know, Shabazz is fighting for scraps at left corner. He could be, you know, a part of that cut down from 90 to 75. But those are the big takeaways that I have, though, with Grant and Artie Burns.
Now, Garner's mostly running in the slot third team.
Garner has kind of flipped between second and third team slot, and he's also played third team left corner, I think. But, yeah, so he's kind of played, you know, he's worn a couple different hats.
All right, safety position. How did Sean Davis do with all those extra reps today?
I thought he was fine. Nothing bad out there. Again, like I said, he moved up the first team slot with Golson down. He still got his reps at second team safety with Shamarco Thomas. Ross Ventrone had an active day. Came up to support the run well. Almost had an interception. A diving play that just kind of fell out of his hands. Jordan Dangerfield was laying out some big hits today. And
that guy loves to hit, doesn't
that's,
he?
It's like breathing to him and Shamarco. That's all they do is just come down. And it was Christian Powell, actually. It was this Powell's first carry, and Dangerfield came up and popped him. So welcome back, Christian Powell. Who's the other guy I wanted to talk about? Robert Golden. I just love Robert Golden playing the run. I think his run fills are constantly excellent. He does a great job of getting downhill as that alley defender and just kind of throws his body in there and gets in the way. I think Golden against the run, it should be noted more from Steelers Nation because he does a great job to play the run.
All right, the return line, nothing changed there. Who seems to be the most reliable hands and kind of squaring up like they're supposed to?
Probably Eli Rogers. Again, yesterday he earned a lot of praise from Tomlin, but none of them have been notably bad. They've all caught the ball pretty cleanly. Ayers has really nice hands. As a receiver, he's catching almost everything out there. He's making some really difficult catches. You can kind of see that translate to return. You know, you see some of his tape at Houston, making some over-the-shoulder grabs and some difficult catches in less than ideal conditions and situations. So I think both of them are going to be good in that regard. I would say that Rogers has done a better job of getting square, tucking the ball away, and being able to make that first move initially. Rogers would have the leg up right now. He's running ahead of Ayers in every facet return and receiver in the slot. But it's very early in this process. And when you talk about a position like return, guys, it's one thing to do it at Chucknell Field whenever you have Danny Smith 10 feet away from you and it is a very low-pressure environment. It's such another thing to do it in a stadium with 50,000 people and it's just you out there by yourself. There's such a just different mentality to it. So I think from the return standpoint, in games is really the only way to judge it.
All right, kind of the winners and losers time.
Yeah, like I said, Anthony Chickle had an excellent day. I'm very happy with his progression. Again, you know, the focus for him is going to be on special teams this year, but I think he's showing what he can do as an outside linebacker, and so there's some excitement there for 2017, I think. The loser, though, again, I love his story. You know, it's a guy that you root for, but Marcus Tucker, you know, the few reps that he had, he did not really take advantage of them, and a guy that's kind of, you know, really just trying to fight for those reps, it's always a little disappointing whenever you didn't have your best day with the chances that you got.
After four straight days of training camp practices, any kind of overarching thoughts right now as you go into the off day?
I like what David Todd said. I think it's been an energetic bunch. It's been a very spirited bunch. They have been very professional, which was Tomlin's big word in the first day of pads. There's been no fights at all. I mean, these guys have been very respectful, but still playing at a high and hard level. Been clean, too, offensively. There's really not been a lot of issues with the, you know, center quarterback exchange, the quarterback running back exchange. Only two interceptions in camp. After 2 days last year, there were four interceptions compared to 4 days this year, only two. So I think, you know, the offense has played very clean, and that's not always going to happen early in camp with so many new faces and moving pieces and injuries and, you know, guys that are playing all over the place. I think the offense has done a nice job of taking care of the football, and I think overall, though, it's been a really fun start to camp.
All right, the Steelers will be off on Tuesday. They'll be back out at St. Vincent College in Latrobe on Wednesday. Alex Kozora will be there. Alex will be hanging around with me. The Steelers might be off, but we won't on Steelers Depot. Of course, there will be no podcast tomorrow for us. We'll be back on Wednesday. I think David Todd and I might do something in the morning. And then, of course, when Alex gets back and writes up his write-up, we'll get on late at night and knock another one of these out. Alex, I appreciate you painting a great picture for us once again today. Great start to camp for you as well too. And let's see, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow Alex Kozora on Twitter at Alex_Kozora. You can email the show theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Terrible Podcast, and that'll do it. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and tonight Alex Kozora.